So we can go ahead and call this meeting to order at 7:02 p.m. This being the KPFT LSB regular meeting on July 8th, 2026. The first item on the agenda is to call to order and call the roll. Mr. Secretary, if you would.
Yes, sir.
Run through.
Melissa, first name is Melissa Bowie. Lillian Kerr.
I'm here.
Lynn Etienne. Linda Foley.
I haven't seen him.
Expect to be late.
Linda.
Yeah, he's
Foley,
coming late, he said.
Lyndon Jerry Foley, by the way, mentioned that he was going to be late. He's coming late.
Very good. Jerry Fowler.
Present.
Lori Gabick.
Present.
Rhonda Garner.
She asked for excused absence.
Rhonda Garner asked to be excused.
Robert Gartner. Rico Henriquez.
Hey, good evening, everyone.
Rob Lee.
Present.
Michelle Lightfield.
Not yet.
Anita Long.
Present.
P.K. McCary.
I think she asked for an excuse absence. She's traveling.
Did we miss Michelle Lightfield?
I did get Michelle Lightfield as not, no, not yet.
Anyway.
And then, so P.K. McCary is excused. Is that correct?
I think so. I think I heard somebody say that.
She's not requested an excused absence.
Sean Kelly McPherson was also, I saw an excuse for her. For them, and Tori Mercer.
Here.
Stuart Nance.
Present.
Rick Norris.
I am here.
Jane Scheidler.
I am here. And 2 weeks ago, I was there.
Sorry.
Debbie Smith.
Present.
Ron Stubers.
Present.
Michael Woodson.
Here.
Colby Wright.
Here.
Susan Young.
Here. I'm talking to Reese, who's trying to figure out how to get on. Okay.
And I got Sandy Weinman noted as well. So.
Here.
Okay.
Present. Thank you.
So who do you have for request? Excused absences.
So right now I have Rhonda Garner, Sean McPherson, and P.K. McCary is what was verbally said tonight.
All right, then that is enough to make quorum. Are there any objections to Rhonda, Sean, and PK being excused absences? And I would include if Lyndon Lynn doesn't know how long he's going to be, so if he doesn't make it by the end of the meeting, that he is also excused. Are there any objections to that? All right.
Did you hear that? Al is present.
Not hearing any objections, then we'll move on. So reading the agenda, this is the July 8th KPFT regular, regular LSB meeting. We'll note that public comment is at a fixed time, that being 8 o'clock. Agenda items after the public comment period, as required. Public comments at 8 and adjournment by 10 are fixed. Other times are estimates. Item two is the roll call and determination of quorum, including excused absences. Item three is approval of the previous agenda. The agenda was sent on July 5th. Approval of minutes of the previous meeting, for the June meeting, that was emailed on July 5th. Item five is unfinished business. We don't have any currently listed unfinished business, but members may bring some up. Item six is new business. Item seven would be the general manager's report. Mission. Item nine is the LSB committee and task force report.
Mr. Chair, can you hear me?
I can't hear.
Mr. Chair, Ron. I think you're frozen and we may have lost you.
Yeah, I can't hear Ron.
I hear everybody but Ron.
Can anyone hear Teresa Allen?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, could you please mark me present?
Oh, hey, Teresa.
I'm going to call Ron and let him know we've lost him.
And while we have a break, how is Jerry Fowler? I see him moving.
Oh, he's alive and well. Yeah. He is. He continues to masquerade as a real DJ. But you know, that's a masquerade only.
I'm glad you're well.
Thank you.
Well, while we are waiting, I'll say that I went to the fundraiser this week with McMurtry and Betty Sue, and it was awesome. And I'll probably mention that again.
I like that venue, Deluxe Theater. It's really nice.
Beautiful venue, yeah.
Super. I hope we do it again. Mm-hmm.
And I love the discussion on Michael Woodson's show today. It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
The man with all the statistics. Trying to compare what a stack of $1 million would be like and billion and a trillion. That was just hilarious.
It's mind-boggling. It really is.
It's wonderful when you get Well, it's wonderful when you get callers in that can each add a little piece to the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Very interesting pooling of resources.
Yep. Yeah. A community really widens one's perspective. Yeah.
Do we have any updates from our chair?
I've gotten a text back from he's asked, yeah, we don't see you or hear you. Maybe come by
this
phone.
This is a new thing in politics, people. This okay, is the great. Mitch McConnell.
Okay, great. Bye.
We want proof of life. I want proof of life.
It's a little bit like Dick Cheney. Are we sure he was alive even when he was showing up?
Oh, we know Mr. McConnell, may he rest in peace, is actually brain dead. But
but that's been for a long time, Lillian.
I know.
That's not good.
I'm giving you the medical. This is the medical decision now.
But think about it, right? He delayed on the Supreme Court justices. Yep. Now right. They're delaying on the appointment of a Democratic senator.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same playbook. His wife went to China.
Isn't she the former Secretary of Transportation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Elaine Chao or whatever her name is?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. So
these are people these are people who can function without a heart or a spine. Just keep that in mind.
Exactly. Well, the absence of internal organs altogether.
Yeah.
kind of a Bernie situation. Not Bernie Sanders, but that movie Bernie.
Oh yeah, Weekend of Bernie.
Oh, Bernie. They can
great
stand
movie.
Him up there.
Great movie.
They can stand him up there, but there's nothing.
Sorry about that.
Oh,
all right.
Oh.
Hey, we're back.
Man is back.
Sorry about that, everybody. Okay, so did we get any of the agenda?
Yeah, some of it, yeah.
Okay, so well, the first is call to order. Second is rule call, determination of quorum. Third item is approval of this agenda. Fourth item is approval of the minutes from the previous meeting, which would be the June 10th meeting, emailed 7-5. Unfinished business is item 5. There's none currently listed. Item 6 is new business. We don't have any proposed currently. Item 7 is the GM's report. Item 8 would be staff recognition. Item 9 is the committee and task force reports, those being development and outreach, governance, the committee of inclusion, and the inclusivity task force. Item 10, at 8 o'clock would be public comment. Item 11 is the PNB director's reports. Item 12 is confirmation of the next LSB meeting as August 12th. Hopefully my network's faster by then. And item 13 would be adjournment of the meeting. Are there any objections or modifications to that listing, that agenda? Not hearing any. This agenda is approved. Then we'll go to minutes of the previous meeting. Those were for the June 10th meeting, emailed out on 7-5. Are there any objections or modifications to those minutes? Okay, not hearing any. I will, they are approved. They can also be amended. I will note that the record on that set of minutes indicates that Melissa Bowie and Robert Gartner have 3 unexcused absences in a row. So if we believe that is in error somehow, I also have that Lyndon Foley would have two. Torrey Mercer had two, but he's here. Stewart had two, but you're here. So if we know that either Melissa was at one of those meetings or Robert was at one of those meetings, let us know so we can modify that. Otherwise, we'll start taking – that's automatic removal from this board, and then we would start taking nominations for replacement. Okay.
So
it was Robert and Melissa?
Robert and Melissa, yes. Okay. That's according to our records and the minutes as they were sent out. Jane, you have your hand up?
I have I might be supposed to know the answer to this question, but what is the procedure? Do we communicate formally in writing to the person who's being under the prospect of being removed from the board, or I just can't remember what the protocol is.
Well, the minutes just say that at three, or not the minutes, but the bylaws just say that at three unexcused absences, then you are no longer a member of the board. So I guess what we would, it doesn't require notification or some process. So I guess we would have to see. And Stuart, and again, we can correct this, Stuart. The notes that I, from the minutes, are the June and July meetings. June meeting. So
this is the July meeting.
This is the July meeting. Yeah, you're in it.
Right. I knew I missed the June one, but I think that's it.
Okay. Well, let me check on that then before we act on it. All right. Thanks. So, since there are no modifications, those minutes are approved. We'll move to item five, which would be unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business that anybody knows about? Spring up? Not hearing any. Then we'll move to item seven, the general manager's report. Mr. Wyman.
Yeah. Thank you, Ron. Mm-hmm. Hope everybody can hear me. I too have unstable internet, so I think it's a thing. Got to pay $20 more a month to make it better, right? Okay. So first, let me say, as we have been, we continue to pay all our bills, make all of our commitments, including central services, the monthly additional central service fee for audits and elections as well. So we're still solvent in a very good way. Over the past weeks, you know, usually after a fund drive ends, that's when we all kind of cruise for a little bit and then reassemble to plan the next one. In this case, we never slowed down, and there's just a whole lot of things going on, including we ran a summer concert series, and I think a couple people were talking about Betty Sue and James McMurtry at the Deluxe Theater on Monday. And before that, we had a blues lineup of three bands that played at the same theater over in the Fifth Ward. Beautiful theater. And the staff there was absolutely incredible. Looking for a venue of that size is perfect for us. So we'll probably be back there again over time. That's a really nice facility. Anyway, we've done those two concerts since we last met. We've also finally filed the construction permit for our 50-foot tower. In order to get to the point where we could file, we had to gather all kinds of provenance. And that meant hiring additional contractors to provide that. So we got through that phase. Now we got our paperwork in, and we're rolling for the review process with the city. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I reviewed it with one of their people. And I told him what the content was, and he said it sounded like we had a pretty good array of material to get this approved. So we should be getting that in the next couple of weeks, I hope, if it goes right. From there, it's a purchase order, and about another 3 weeks, and there'll be a tower in the backyard. That's at high speed if everything goes perfectly. There's a chance it won't go perfectly. It's a project. So optimistically, by, maybe around the end of August, we'll have a microwave link beginning of September instead of our still glitchy internet link like we're experiencing tonight, only with FM broadcast. Makes it more fun. Okay. We're also taking a look at our own grid. Constantly, we've been reevaluating programming. And during the summer months, while programmers are taking a break, producers are taking a break, we're putting in people that want to be on the air and seeing what it's like getting their voice on the air, seeing how they conduct themselves, and hopefully being able to roll them into spots where we need more new people. So look for additional changes. Marlo is absolutely doing this the right way and is making really good progress. You hear it. You hear it in the content. You hear it in the voices. And I couldn't be happier with what's going on. So look for more of the same as we travel through the summer. In an effort to acknowledge all the people that are on the sustainer program. You know, if you're giving us $5 or $10 a month and you got your T-shirt last year, what do you get this year? Well, I tell people on the air, up your thing, $2.50 or $5, and then choose a new gift at that level. And most people are more than happy to do something like that. But it's also nice to recognize those people, especially as we build this program to the point where we hope to build it to, where one day we're on the air twice a year, 10 days each time, done and done. Those are the fun drives. And the rest comes in from the sustaining support. We can do that. It's a manageable goal. And we're working toward it. It's just going to take some time. Probably more time than I'll be GM, but it's a plan that you can continue. And at one point, provide complete stability for the station where money is concerned. That doesn't include lawsuits, transmitters that blow up in the middle of the night, and other large expenditures. You got to read the details in my statement. During the last month, we were out twice in the community doing live broadcasts. The first time was at Cactus Records, where Clint did Long Time Running. And I got to say, the people at Cactus, you know, by doing that, we're supporting their business. There's no question. That's a commercial form in a way. But just the same, they also support the station financially. So and I don't think they're exactly making billions over there. It's a public service, kind of like us, in a sense. The second one was from Griff's, which had burned down and reopened. And Lee Spench did discover, with the help of Howard, Heather, Marlo, and Elise, they were all out there. And, of course, Howard was at the first one, keeping the tin cans and string connected. And for those of you that think it's trivial, come on out and watch him unload the trunk and get it all hooked up and then break it all back down and bring it back to the car. It's a lot of work. So thank you, Howard. The lawn stays shaved, scaped because of Arlo in the heat. So thank you, Arlo. It's something nobody should do. I fought a battle with one of those softwood brushes that'll grow up to be tree size with one of those pruning things. I was out there for 15, 20 minutes. That was it. He's cutting that lawn every Sunday, and I really appreciate it. We all should. I want to thank Teresa, Augie, and Melinda, and Matt, and Christine, and Kurt coming in and calling Lapstoners. So far this year, they've brought in $5,859, and that doesn't include what they're going to bring in tomorrow. So they're going to be back at it, and we should all appreciate that too. Those little bits, those little amounts around the edges at the end of the year make a big difference. So thank you. I want to thank Rhonda Gardner, who has also been coming in and helping Robin once a week, retrieve credit card numbers that don't want to seem to run by contacting folks and straightening all that stuff out. And that too bears fruit. So Rhonda, thank you for doing that. Really important stuff. Good work. I want to thank Robin for putting in the additional time for fighting the battle with Paya, P-A-Y-A. They say Paya. I say Paya. And also Allegiance. We had a zillion fraudulent credit card charges this last drive by a bot that was attacking our credit card system. And we're refunding every penny of that. That's going on right now. And Robin has been working with both companies. That's not in her job description if we were trying to hire a Robin. This is way above and beyond. So I want to thank her for putting in those hours and listening to the music on hold. I want to thank all the on-air volunteers. I did it last month. I'm going to continue to do this every month. When you turn on the radio and you hear what you hear, it's because somebody's there to provide the content. It's not me. It's not Marlo. It's not Howard. It's not anybody but the programmer that's on shift. And there's a lot of them. And they continue to honor their commitment to provide that content. So when you see them, say thanks. Volunteers, community radio. That's what it is. And also Howard, who continues to grind away, maintaining the schedule and keeping the equipment somehow in the studio running. We fought a battle with our air conditioner. We decided to turn us into a rainforest, but it just needed to be degunked. And it, happily, all that happened this morning, but that equipment heats up and funny things start to happen, and Howard's on the spot to navigate around it. I want to thank Cruiser Roasters and Keith at the company over there for continuing to provide our coffee beans. I'll do that every month, too. For those of you unfamiliar with studio operations, it doesn't exist without coffee. So thank you for providing those well-needed beans. So we're running on HD2 right now with regard to programming. We're trying new hosts, as I alluded to, and also we're running a workshop on the HD2 channel. It's a three-part series called The Artemis Project, focusing on the behind-scenes look at the mission, the crew, the media that covered the recent voyage to the around the moon and back. So we're branching out. We're also having groups of school kids in tomorrow morning, two different school groups. They will tour the station. They're interested in the media operations. One of them is going to record their own public service announcement as a project while they're there. And Howard and Marlo will be involved in that tomorrow morning. We rated again a 0.6, and our cumulative listening was 113,400 hours. Currently in the bank, we have $188,195.51 as of Monday morning. And the restricted balance in that's grant money, is $7,005.57. That's ticking down. We have about another, I guess it looks like about another 7-8 months of money to cover the Huntsville transmitter. And I've asked Robin to ask the Brown Foundation if they wanted to refresh that account. I hope they will. It'd be a big help. One last note with regard to the bank balance and cash, the studio to transmitter link where that tower is going up, we still have yet to commit a needed close to a little less than $20,000. So we're going to be spending money on that was donated. I have some very bright news for you next time, I hope, in terms of donations. A lot of weird stuff has been happening, good weird, but just the same, really unusual. So hopefully the hole that we're experiencing with the extra draft on central services for the elections, for the audits, and some of the other expenses that we're running into will be solved. I'm optimistic. Okay, well, that's me. Any questions?
Sandy, could I just make a comment? I like the idea of what do we do with sustainers. And I don't know if it'd be a good intern project, but maybe we could read some of the names of some of the sustainers and just put it on a repeat. Just, we wanted to thank, I mean, you know, I'm not exactly sure what my thought is, but maybe somebody smarter than I am could think about how we actually are doing something for the sustainers and acknowledging them is, I guess, my point. I'm not quite sure how to do it. Thank you.
Well, many of our hosts do read the names of the sustaining members at the beginning of a drive because they've already donated to that show, and Robin makes sure that they see that by sending reports around. So, yeah, we acknowledge that way, Rob. One of the things that we really need to get is permission to read these names. You know, we have the names because they donated. It doesn't mean it's okay to repeat the name. Usually that comes in at the time when they make the donation initially. So this is off a database, and that piece of data is just not there. But that's a manageable condition too. And, yeah, the more acknowledgement, the better. I couldn't agree more.
Thank you.
All right. Don't have my hand up, but Sandy, I will note that you mentioned the summer concert series. We're two into our summer concerts. Are there still tickets available for the third concert?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I think it's buy one, get five free. No, seriously, it's August 28th. It's August 28th. It's going to be at Shoeshine Charlie's Big Top, which is the Continental Club. There's another venue that's been out back for years. And over the last 2-3 years, they've reworked it, and they've got serious talent coming through there. They've got, you know, it's much better seating and lighting and sound and the whole thing. So okay, they've reworked that thing, and that's where we're holding this. So it's going to be August 28th, I believe, is a Friday night, and we're going to have three rock and roll / jam bands out to perform, the first of which is Midnight Beverage. They're a relatively young Houston jam band. The lead is 22 years old. He writes, he sings, he plays guitar, tells funny jokes, and he's an all-around great guy. And I think they're very clever musically myself. Following that will be the Hightailers, which is, no, we didn't do Watermelon, but at least we got the Hightailers to an event. And then there'll be Synchronicity 3, which is you have to guess, they're a tribute band to Synchronicity, Sting, right, Police, and they'll close that show. So it's a requested $40 donation for a ticket.
All right. So I will note for other members of the board that first concert was great, and it was a good time, and the folks that were there I think had a good time. So you're encouraged to show up and help out. Are there other questions for the general manager? All right. Not seeing other questions, we'll move on to item 8, which is staff recognition. And I know it's not, I don't know, do we include programmers as staff? Is it, let's start with the person who has their hand up, and that's Susan. Susan, you've got your hand up.
Okay, so I guess this is probably, maybe it's Marlo. First, I've been hearing the new shows, the people who are test driving, and I really, really enjoyed it. I think that's a great initiative. I cannot remember their names. I just sort of say, that's not Sandy. And I also really like the way that you have, you know, between shows, you promo other shows. You have the ad council stuff. I think those are great. You have statements by listeners and by performers. And, I think all of that is really good. It makes the day more lively. So I really, I wanted to just compliment you on that.
Well, we have to thank Howard largely for shaping that sound, but the insistence on forward announcing programming, what's coming up in the morning, the afternoon, we've gotten to get a little bit more focused on that in the last couple of months. So Rico, Marlo, a number of people, we've got interns, which I didn't mention, Gabriel and other interns working. They were stuffing the envelopes with those pins to the sustainers. So we've got a number of interns. We're supposed to have somebody else start. I just saw an email go by. So it's a pretty lively place, KPFT. Lots of traffic.
Absolutely. And I would echo that, in noting that I was listening to Clint this morning. I don't think Clint's ever done a set that, I didn't like, which either is a strange coincidence of tastes or something. I'm not sure. Heard Elise, on the radio. So, and she was doing great. So, appreciate all those folks who are putting their time and effort in.
They're having fun and you can hear it.
Good. All right. Other folks for staff recognition? Trying to see if you have your hand up, but not seeing something. So if you do and I miss you, just give a yell and we'll take care of that. That brings us to our committee and task force reports. The first being the Development and Outreach Committee. Development and Outreach. Who do we have for?
Teresa!
Teresa, are you? You're muted.
I'm very sorry, I'm just distracted. Outreach and Development. The Pride Parade was postponed due to weather. It's been rescheduled. So I anticipate that we will work with Queer Voices to collect names and emails at the Pride event. And there should be another Pride event coming up in the Woodlands in October, which we will work on outreach for. We have no meeting scheduled for July, so our next meeting is in August. We will have a team tomorrow calling lapsed donors. We did have a cancellation, so if there's any board member that would like to join us from like noon until 3 tomorrow at the station to call lapsed donors, please contact me or contact Robin. Of course, there's a limit to how many phones that we can be on, but and there's also a parking issue tomorrow due to the fact that we have high schoolers, I guess, young people in the station. So probably would be easier to park after 1, but we're going to carpool or do whatever we need to be calling lapsed donors. Laurie, did you want to say anything about Old Town Spring, and you're muted.
Yeah. Okay. So something I'm going to bring up at the next committee meeting, but I'm just trying to kind of increase our outreach into Old Town Spring because, you know, it's locally owned businesses and some are struggling. So I'm planning an event in October. So October 10th, it's going to be called the Old Town Spring Zombie Stomp. So I'm hoping to kind of partner with KPFT and the Be an Angel Foundation to, that would kind of be a fundraiser for them. And I don't know about KPFT, if it'd be a fundraiser or a partnership, or we can kind of think about that. Or I think it'd be really fun to do a live broadcast maybe. So it's October 10th. So it's a fun community art event that, I've been thinking about. And so I think Leduska, who called in before, is going to call in tonight too to kind of do some Old Town Spring Tap because they actually have a lot of like live music. They have a lot of things that are happening there. So I'm kind of trying to work with the people there to kind of help promote it and promote KPFT, because when I talk to the artists, they're like, I'm like, oh, do you know KPFT? And like, yeah, that's what we listen to when we like make this. So like the music helps create the art. So I think there's, we can help each other.
So we'll be working with Robin on that.
Yes, yes. So yeah, mm-hmm. we'll talk about that at the next meeting. I haven't really talked to the committee. It's just trying to plan ahead for October, kind of.
Hey, quick question, Teresa. This is Glenn. I guess we were not successful in doing anything for Juneteenth, correct?
No, we were not. Okay. And okay. It did not work out. After we talked to Robin okay. about it, just thought it was maybe too complicated, and it was maybe not the best thing for us to be. You need to permissionally work the crowd at Miller Outdoor.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you for asking.
Thanks. And Richard, I would note that Glenn is now on the call, and we've heard from him, so he could be noted as present. All right. Is there anything else for development and outreach? I know there's always more, but we good?
We're good.
All right. Thank you. That takes us to governance. Is Debbie, you're here?
Yeah. I need to know what the protocol is for that, because I believe we've had the last three meetings, we haven't met quorum. So I was just wondering if with the new election coming up, is that why people's not coming and, you know, being on the meetings that we have, or what is protocol for not meeting quorum?
Well, first, if you're not present for three meetings in a row, so if the next meeting will be the third meeting, correct? Or have there been three?
Yeah, I think, haven't we had three where we haven't had quorum?
I would have to look at those records, but if we do, then
that's why I was wondering what the protocol is when we're not meeting quorum, so we're not having a meeting. So does that go along with the three also?
That's correct. Those people who do not attend, causing the quorum not to be met, are then removed from the committee.
Right.
But and now, how so your quorum, well, that changes your quorum number, because right. quorum mm-hmm. is half mm-hmm. of the voting.
I think we had three last mm-hmm. time. We had three and a visitor.
Well, then you need
Rob and I.
Then that means you need two people to meet quorum. Okay. If that's all you're getting to show. Okay. Susan, you have your hand up.
Yeah, a couple things. One, I requested an excused absence. Also, I think that there was one meeting where we may have had a notice kind of a difficulty. Not sure.
Right.
Clearly last meeting and yeah. the one you just had, we didn't meet quorum. What might right. be a useful thing to do, and I'd be happy to do it as the interim secretary, is to kind of reach out to the people who have been participating on the governance committee and say, you know, what are the things you want to deal with? Some of the things that about which there was a lot of energy have sort of been offloaded onto the Committee of Inclusion and the, you know, the group that Michelle and PK were going to handle. And I don't know that anything has moved forward with them as yet.
No.
And the election is now underway. So any information people need about that, they need to go to the website or ask the NES.
Right, because that's what our two main topics were going to be in the governance committee, was the election and the information from PK and Michelle. So by not getting nowhere, it's kind of stalled a little bit. And those two are very important items we were going to talk about. So. But like I said, with this new election, will we still be able to have a governance committee, or will that be a different, how will that, what, I mean, will it be about, or?
But yeah. Susan, you could address that, or?
Yeah. Okay. So, basically, LSBs have been kind of inventing what they think is important to do this year. This is a transition year. So different LSBs have different, committee configurations. I think at the start of this year, people were coming to the governance committee because they wanted to understand the new bylaws. They wanted to dispute about the new bylaws, all that sort of thing. So we've gotten past that. We've gotten really We've lost energy around the question of inclusivity. Others need to pick that up and come back if they're going to. And the election is underway. I suggest, if I send around a note, I suggest that we consider putting that the LSB consider putting the governance committee on hiatus until there is somebody comes up with, hey, we would like the governance committee to address this.
Okay, yeah, because I haven't put another date for a meeting yet, because you know, we kind of talked about that, Robin and Ron and I did. So we haven't come up with one because I didn't know where we stood, basically, you know, with the new election coming on.
So let me go ahead and circulate that memo to the people who have been a part of the committee.
Okay.
And in our August meeting, we can discuss whether the committee goes on hiatus.
So go ahead and in the LSB have a high that next meeting or the governance?
If we don't hear back from people, if they don't say that here's this burning issue we need to address, then we come to the LSB and the report from the governance committee would be, we request that the governance committee be put on hiatus until there is a need to reconvene.
So don't pick a date or anything until we hear if there's a response. Okay. Perfect. Because like I said, I didn't know the protocol of that. Okay. Otherwise, I have nothing.
All right. Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate that. And that takes us to the Committee of Inclusion. Do we have any information from the Committee of Inclusion? Not hearing anything at the moment. All right. Then there's the Inclusivity Task Force. I did not hear Michelle on the call. Is there anything from that committee? No? Okay. Then that takes us to our next item, which would be public comment. We do have 10 minutes left, so we could start with some of the PNB directors' reports, like five or 6 minutes worth of that.
Okay. Lillian's got her hand up.
Yeah, can somebody give me a quick update on what's happening with the Committee of Inclusion? Did it disband, or do we have a chair?
I thought that was Adriana, wasn't it?
No.
Somebody else who's gone.
If I could address that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The Committee of Inclusion, so Marianne was on it. She was the national board member.
Right.
Teresa is now the national board member. Okay. It is not clear who has agreed to try to convene it and chair it. Adriana was told she could continue to be on it. The people who are on it, I believe, are you, PK, Teresa, Nancy Cybera, Naratomi,
Tori,
and Tori. Mm-hmm. But I think you all need to kind of confer about, will somebody actually kind of organize it? And what will it be that you do?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, good. And we will note that the just generally that the election nomination process is still ongoing. So check the Pacifica website for more information about that. What else do we have from the PNB directors?
I can start with this, but probably Michael will have more to say than anything.
Okay.
In order to, not get in the way of July 4th, the next PNB meeting is tomorrow night. I usually forward the ED's report when we've had our meeting the week before. So I will be forwarding it later. There will be a governance committee upcoming. I believe that the audit committee will be meeting. Because we have an update on the critical tax filings and an update on where we are, preparing for the audit. And there's a personnel committee scheduled, but I think we will cancel it because we don't have an issue to address at this time. And the committee that is probably the most active is finance, the stalwart Michael Woodson is our representative on the finance committee, so maybe he can address that.
Just as you say that, Susan, it's one of those weird months where the second Wednesday happens before the second Tuesday or something. I don't even know if I'm being accurate, but we didn't meet yet. We meet Tuesday. And so don't have anything to report that's different from last month.
Let me just add that, as has been said, the election is underway right now. The NES is Anya Lovest, who we had met previously, who has done trainings for us. It's a tough go because we've got new bylaws, a new NES, and the whole structure for the election is new. The balloting, because, you know, now both listeners and staff can vote directly for national board positions, and listeners and staff can vote for local station board positions. There's a really good website. I suggest you go to it. It's got a lot of information about how the election is being managed, about an extension with nominations, and you can see who all is actually signed up to run, and get information about them and see their glamour shots. So anyway, encourage, and if you have any questions, get to the NES. She is very helpful.
Good. All right. Let's see. So 6 minutes left. What else do we have for the PNB directors? We can go on the next. Let's see.
Perhaps I can add. So Teresa's on governance.
Okay.
And Sean is on audit. So I'm on a couple of those too. What I would ask is, does anybody have questions that you would like to pose to those of us serving on the PNB? I know that we've tried to sort of step up our game about reporting what is happening, because I know there have been complaints in the past that, hey, we don't hear about what's happening. There's a lot that's underway right now, but really there's a lot of effort has been put into getting the election done. So I urge everybody, the ballots right now, there's still some nominations from until July 11th. Ballots will be out August 15th. And they'll, between July 11th and August 15th, they'll have to figure out who qualifies. And then the campaigning period will begin August 15th. And I think the ballots are due September 15th. But all of that is on the website.
All right. Rob, you get your hand up.
I don't want to get too deep into this, but I believe it's called Central Services Payment. You know, what are we doing for the, I believe it's two stations that I believe are not paying for central services, requiring the rest of the stations to pay. Again, I keep hearing about things and I just don't know, you know, what can be done. And this might not be the time to go too deep.
So let me just say, I do think that that is perhaps the most critical issue that Pacifica and the PNB are facing. Getting the audits done, getting the election done, without causing a lot of disruption has been sort of the priority at this time. But that means that the stations, including KPFT, have had to step up and help pay for the audit and help pay for the election rather than having it be able to come out of central services. So I think it will be the task of the National Finance Committee, probably starting in second half of September, to say, okay, what actions need to be taken at the stations that are not paying central services in order for them to be able to step up to that responsibility?
And our member on national finance is Michael.
Yeah. Well, I would just second that for sure. And, you know, part of the problem is the different dynamics. Like, the one issue is we're all a big happy family in Pacifica, LA, Berkeley, DC, New York, and Houston. And then on the other hand, we've got people locally who are donating money. And, this is kind of me speaking now, but it's like, are you going to tell your local donors that their money is going to pay for things that really we have to bear more of the burden, the share of the burden than other stations. And then the other dynamic would be the national office is really overworked. You just can't ask for more from so few, you know, staff. And so when the board is asking for reports and that kind of thing, it kind of adds a burden, you know, to the already overworked people at the national office. So, you know, we're on the National Finance Committee, we're working on it and, you know, kind of very delicate. And Stephanie's aware of it, and that's my response to the questions. And I think my first thought was give it to Sandy because he really has the closest view of what's going on that level.
Could I make a proposal? And I see Debbie's got her hand up, so I won't stay anything long. But I would suggest we make a proposal. I don't know exactly what this is. This is half-baked. But if any station doesn't pay central services for more than a year, we've got a massive deficit. I propose that we sell that station. It's got to be worth $10 million. And let's get on a good footing and, you know, try to say, let's all carry our own weight. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I was muted. Debbie, you have your hand up?
Mine wasn't about any of this. I just noticed when I was flipping through here, I see Robert Gartner's on and PK's on. Ooh. Just wanted to acknowledge that. Or they
and
need
the
to
the time is now 8 o'clock. Oops. And 5 seconds.
Okay, 8 o'clock. Let's catch our... So, PK, can you say hello?
Whoever iPhone 4 is, Robert? She had her hand up.
Okay.
Hi. My name is Ladeska York, and I visited a little bit with you guys last month. I represent Old Town Spring and some of the events that we have there. And so I wanted to just take a minute to remind you that.
Not yet, Ladeska. Not yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Hang on just 1 second. So okay. A little preview thing is that our bylaws call for 30 minutes of public comment, and it gives an opportunity for the public to address the board, not for the board to address the public. We'll note that we are fair campaign rules apply now, so we don't want any discussion of candidates or positions or that sort of thing in this part of the meeting. we don't have personnel issues or personal attacks, slander, derogatory remarks, that sort of thing. Unfortunately, board members are not allowed to speak, so it's not a dialogue, but we're listening. Appreciate folks who come to talk and give their thoughts on it. The time for each speaker is 3 minutes. If all speakers have had an opportunity, then you can speak again for 3 more minutes. If we have community organizations, we take their 2 3-minute pieces and just put them back to back so that their message is not broken up. And with that, sorry, let's we'll launch back in. Sorry, go ahead again. You're
great.
You have the floor. Yeah,
thank you so much for that. I probably jumped right in because I was afraid I was a little late. Okay, so my name is Leduska York, and I'm a local artist. I'm a painter, and I also represent Old Town Spring, and like to just remind everybody that we're still here and striving to thrive. A couple of events I wanted to mention tonight, and just a reminder too that regularly Old Town Spring has live music at a lot of the restaurants. Trilogy Brew, which is a coffee shop. They do a lot of live music. The MB Speakeasy. Elixir Lounge is a fun place. That's a non-alcoholic bar. They have game nights every night of the week, and they also have live music. Prohibition is a new speakeasy in town, and they also offer live music and a new menu. We've got Puffa Bellies, an old standby. They have live music. One Two Brothers is a great staple there, and then Track Shack and Ice House. So there's just lots of stuff going on all the time in Old Town Spring. We kind of forget. But I wanted to give a shout out to Matt from Simply Texas Gourmet Foods. He's going to be doing live music. I believe it's this Saturday, July 11th at 7 p.m. at his place, which is Simply Texas Gourmet Foods on Main Street. And then I'm doing open outdoor art galleries. I've got a few dates on the calendar for that. The first will be August 22nd, then September 26th, and October 24th. Those are 9 to 5 a.m. at 119 and a half Main Street. It's a really neat open air outdoor place you can rent. And there's a sign there too. So if you have people who want to sell in Old Town Spring, there's a sign that shows you can call and rent the place. It's been a great opportunity for me. I used to have a little art gallery in Old Town Spring, but I had to close it. So this is just another fun way for me to kind of get back into town. And I represent about a half a dozen different artists as well. So it's not just my work. It's the art work of others too. And then October 10th, along with Lori Gabick, who is part of your board, and Matt from Simply Texas Gourmet Foods, who I mentioned earlier, we are going to do an ushering in of the holidays with Zombie Stomp. That's also going to be our main base will be at 119 and a half Main Street, that same spot I rent for my events. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to encourage dressing up like zombies. We're going to have probably face painters there. There's going to be live music, totally zombie themed. We're going to have art to sell that will be zombie Halloween themed. And then in the early evening hours, there will be an opportunity to kind of peruse the town in a zombie stomp walk together through town just to visit the other shops and maybe grab some food or something to drink. So those are just some fun things coming up that I wanted to remind you about. Of course, we always want to remember our Old Town Spring when we're thinking of fun things to do with the family because it's family friendly. There's been a fair amount of turnover with some businesses, so there's a lot of fresh new places there. And I just wanted to remind you guys how awesome Old Town Spring is. And thank you for having me tonight.
All right. Great. Thank you. Appreciate that. We had a scheduled, Debbie, your hand is up, but I think you're probably that's left over. We had a scheduled person that's, Michael Smith. Michael, are you on?
I think so. Can you hear me?
There you are. You are. Yes, indeed. You have the floor for 6 minutes and, Susan will let you know when you get to about five.
Fair enough. Well, I'm happy to be here and to inform the listeners through this station that there is activity in helping the homeless people who are transitioning from garages or their cars to apartments. I'm on the board of a group called Fill the Gap, which is part of the Peace and Justice Network here in Montgomery County. And we work with clients, poor people in the Woodlands and Conroe and in other parts of the Montgomery County that are close to the I-45 corridor. So the difference between our participation in the homeless mission and others is pretty basic. We don't do job training. We don't do education. What we do is provide deposits for utilities. Often the person who's seeking an apartment or other shelter has a job. They have a car to get back and forth to the job, but they don't have the extra funds that are required to make utility deposits. So when it comes to the point in time when they're able to move in, they often have to delay the move-in date because they didn't plan for the utility deposits ahead. So that's where we step in. We work with Interfaith Ministries, which is an organization of some 40 years duration here in Montgomery County. They do the screening and the qualification criteria, and they evaluate the client's budget and income to then determine what share of the utility deposits we help them support. So it's been a large success, and we've enabled over the 24 years we've been doing this, we've enabled some 1,300 people to relocate from day-by-day accommodations to some kind of permanent arrangements with apartments or occasionally with single-family homes. And Teresa Allen is a partner with us. She is, of course, very widespread in terms of her activities, but one of those that I also share with her is Mill Bend Coffee House, which meets on the second Saturday of every month. Or is that the second Saturday of every month? So that's how I got to know Teresa, and I appreciate the time here. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to try and answer them.
Sounds like a great program. Oh, can't talk.
Yeah, unfortunately, this time is for public and the public comment. So thank you. I appreciate that that input.
All right.
Let's see. Do we have other members of the community? I see Nancy, you have your hand up. Do you have the floor?
Yes, I would like to ask a question to this gentleman who just spoke. How many children, homeless children in Montgomery County that you've been helping or that you think, I mean, you have some figure from teachers, school teachers, or probably they wouldn't tell you. Anyway, I'm concerned about children because Houston Independent School District has, cut down their budget for wraparound services for homeless children. And I was just wondering, what is the situation there?
I don't know the answer to your question. I've read transcripts of the interviews with that are conducted by the Fill the Gap group, but and so there are families with children, but there are also elderly people. I say elderly; they're in their 50s, and they're either a couple or they're singles, and they also have trouble in this domain. But we certainly try and prioritize families where we can, and obviously that's a critical need, and irrespective of geography. It's, but I don't have data on that information.
Well, thank
Nancy, you.
In Japan, they were permitted to live in the schools, and it was a secret. No one was to know, but I was told, usually mother and children have some place inside a public school, and they would allow them to live there homeless. Not too many, but and it was a secret. No one could know about it. I had a class of school teachers who were wanting to learn English, and they were telling me these things. And I thought, I don't think this is happening in USA, but it would be nice. All right. Let's see.
No, it's a great concept to borrow from.
Yes, I mean, it's an empty building, you know, just put some showers, you know. Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, WPFW LSB, what they've been working on for several years is a grievance process for staff. So you lose your show, you can't just lose your show. You got a way to, you know, a process, you know. It's like union. And they've been working on it for several years. And
5 seconds.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, 3 minutes is up.
So I have 3 more minutes.
You get to come back around. No, you have 3 more minutes when you come back.
Okay. All right, thank you. Then Mr. Crozier.
Okay. Get my camera going here. Thank you. First, I want to thank all of you again for your dedication and for, you know, your work on the LSB and to help the KPFT. I'd kind of have a request related to the elections. And basically, tell your friends and those of you who are on the air, tell your listeners, remind them about the election, that there are changes. A lot of people don't realize what's changed with the new bylaws. And we now have elections once every 3 years. It's going to be this year. Instead of twice every 3 years. And I think one of the most exciting things is it's much more democratic now because all the people on the national board are directly elected by the members. And in the past, it worked kind of the way we elected senators before the 17th Amendment, where, you know, the legislatures would select the U.S. senators. I think it was over 100 years ago when that amendment was passed. And so now you get to really directly elect the people on the national board. And even the affiliate stations get to select their own affiliate representatives. They didn't, you know, have that opportunity to do that before. But it is important for people to get familiar with the candidates. And hopefully by next week, we'll know who they all are. And I think, you know, people need to be thinking about that. The ballots won't go out till around the middle of August, I believe.
Yeah, it is. But, it's like, okay, love, you can have it. Let me have it. You could have just let me have it. You didn't have to be all
that's what
you
Melissa knew. Is talking.
We're making the bet.
I didn't.
You did.
Take making a bet. We ain't bet.
It looks like I'm no longer the co-chair, so I cannot mute that person.
Okay, thanks. But anyway, just we need help reminding people that what the differences are, and instead of electing a whole slew of people just to the LSB and not knowing what position they're going to be in, you know, we get to elect people for specific positions. I think those are dramatic improvements to the bylaws, and I think the boards are already functioning better, and they'll be functioning even more so after the new people are seated at the end of the year. But a lot of people don't understand the importance of voting. And even in the past, KPFT struggled to barely reach quorum usually. And I'd hate for all this effort to go to waste if we don't reach quorum in the elections. So remind people to be watching with their ballot. And related to the finances, though, I still think, and I was on the national board as well as the local board, and I think finances continue to be the biggest problem. Improvements have definitely been made, but we still have debt that was incurred from 10 years ago that we're still paying off. And I mean, Rob is right that we need all stations to pay carry their own weight and pay central services, the shared services. But I don't think we should be threatening to sell a license. We need to help them raise the money. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Let's see. So other members of the public who would like to address the board? Nancy, you had your hand up. You have 3 minutes.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's summer vacations now and time, and I think we are missing a chance to have a youth program where we can invite youth, and they don't necessarily have to come to the station. They can meet by Zoom, but help them to learn, you know, researching, making a script, making one-minute cards of history, and it could be ethnic history, too. We could have school children doing these, learning how to do journalism, actually. And they could even have a group commenting on current history, current events from their viewpoint. They research it, they script it, they make it in, you know, 50-second cards. It would be a very nice connection with the community, which we are missing. That's one way to improve your membership, to show your value, and help the community understand they can, you know, get some improvement, get some education, get some experience. And we should do that. We should really do that. And it doesn't have to be university students. It could be, or high school, or even middle school, and ask their parent, one parent, to come with them, at least one. We were doing that long time ago, and we even had a two-year-old come because the daddy wanted to learn in the station. That was, I think, Patrick Hoyt was doing that. Okay, so we're missing a chance here. You know, because they can make little bitty, you know, one-minute cards. Yeah, we could have ethnic history of Arabs, ethnic history of brown and black and all different colors, you know, because Houston is just, you know, waiting for. I mean, I think we have the biggest future of any of the five stations because we're in a town that's growing every day and the other stations are in towns that are shrinking. I wanted to talk about, I talked to some very, very senior programmers, former programmers, and they had tried to make a talent show on the air, on the radio. And they had worked real hard, but they gave up. And they said, this is for somebody else to do. So, you know, we could do a lot of things because it's hot. People don't want to go
10 seconds
into the hotness. They could have a talent show on the air, an international festival on the air, and we could do it both online.
33 minutes is up.
And we can do it on the air.
3 minutes is up.
Thank you.
Thank you for your input.
And by the way, the bylaws says this public time is for public only. It doesn't say you can just limit the time of public and have the rest for the LSB. The bylaws. The 2025 bylaws actually says that.
So are there other members?
I'm finished.
Bill, you have your hand up?
Yeah, if there's nobody else that hasn't spoken yet. One thing I didn't get to mention, but I wanted to thank Miss York from Old Town Spring and also Mr. Smith from Fill the Gap. I don't know if he's still on the call, but I really appreciate hearing from you. And Ms. York, yeah, we do need more art. I'm not an artist, but I'm glad you're doing what you can to help with that. And I also wanted to say about the elections is that, you know, there's most nonprofits do not get to elect their own boards. This is another unique feature, not quite unique, but it's not really common for most nonprofits have self-selecting boards. And so I hope the members will step forward and, you know, with all your encouragement, remind your friends again to be sure to look for their ballot when it comes out. I guess it'll be emailed to them probably around mid-August. And look at the candidates and, you know, select somebody that you think will be good. And it's, you know, it's not just about political, ideology or whatever. You know, a lot of it is we need people who become good board members who can work together with others. I think you folks are doing a good job with that. It seems like we've had some problems in the past on our board, but, you know, we work together and actually want to help the station. And not just, you know, help your friends get shows and things like that. That's been a problem at some of the other Pacifica stations also. And that's not the role of board members. Certainly, I think it's good to make suggestions to management about, you know, we need more shows like this or this kind of programming or, you know, training in this or that, for example. I think we're getting a pretty good selection of different shows and the on-air sound is good. I personally like to see more science and health and environmental shows. We have some. That's good. But I always like to hear more of that. I don't think there's enough of that on the air. But, again, just want to thank all of you for what you're doing for KPFT. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. Other members of the public, you're indicated as Anthony.
Yes, that's right. I'm Anthony Fest. I am a KPFA unpaid staff member, and I'm on the KPFA local station board. I don't believe I've listened to a KPFT LSB meeting before, but I'm impressed because it seems to sound like a gathering of mature adults, and that's quite refreshing. No one has been muted nor placed in the Zoom waiting room nor threatened with suspension from the LSB. And not too long ago, I listened to a WPFW LSB meeting, and I also came away with a similar positive experience. Also impressed that you still have genuine public comments and that you are taking comments from people like me who are members of other LSBs. Sorry to say, you would not be given that similar privilege at the KPFA LSB. And finally, one more compliment. I see you've got committees doing real work. So once again, I'm impressed and surprised by the contrast with a certain other board. So I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the input. So the folks that have talked have spoken twice for our discussed rules. That's our limit for the meeting. Are there other members of the public who would like to speak? Let's see. Checking, I've got two pages of people. Okay, not seeing that, so we're at 8:26, close, but we have somebody else come in. We can take the 4 minutes for that. Although I do believe that we are, Susan, a question for you. Are we at the end of the director's reports for the PNB?
Sorry, let me get, yes, we are.
I believe so. Okay. Thank you. Then item 12 then is confirming that the next LSB meeting will be August 12th, unless there is an objection to that. Hearing no objection, we will schedule for the 12th. The next item then is to adjourn this meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Thank you kindly. I appreciate everybody's input. Thanks for this civil and helpful meeting. My apologies for internet connection issues.
Mr. Chair, did we ever acknowledge that Melissa Bowie was on the call?
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. So sorry. We actually have, I saw Melissa. Melissa said that she was here in the chat. So
she needs to unmute.
She needs to speak.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
And I saw Robert Gartner and PK were on too, but they were muted.
I see PK. PK, can you say hello?
Is she muted?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. Is she still? PK, if you can say hello, we can add you to the attendance list. And there's Lyndon. So hello, Lyndon.
Hello.
I don't see Robert Gartner no more.
I don't. I did not see him. So
yeah, I saw him. He was right next to PK, but then now he's gone, but PK's still on there.
Okay. I was listening. I'm working. I'm doing things. And so you're down there in the corner somewhere. But what is it you want me to say? I said.
Just hello. So present. Yeah. All right. Thanks, PK. I did not get, so we got feedback from PK and Melissa. I did not hear anything from Robert.
I don't see him no more.
Okay, this meeting being.
And did Glenn? Glenn spoke. Did Glenn eat?
He already did. He was
breaking okay. Night. I missed it. Okay.
Yeah, I spoke earlier.
Oh, but. Yeah.
All right.
Sounds like we had a good
Thank
meeting.
You, everybody. Appreciate that. This meeting then is adjourned at 8:29 p.m.
Thank you. It was a great meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thanks, all. Good night.